Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we're really only halfway back because Alexa is all over the world right now, and I am sitting here on Survivor Premiere Day feeling like, or not on Survivor Premiere, on Survivor Cast Announcement Day, feeling like I have to get in here and do something. So Alexa may record one of these solo in about a week, or she might just wait until we get into all of our fantasy games. And for the first time in history, Alexa and I won't be on the exact same page as we're sitting here going through all of our fantasy games, our prop bets, and our boot list, which we tend to have way too much in common and ultimately get it wrong a lot. But it's Survivor 43 cast announcement day, which is huge news. This is the 43 cast assessment. If you don't like me and you really only listen for Alexa, well, unfortunately, this is not the episode for you, but I appreciate everybody tuning in anyway. We have a lot going on with our patrons this year. We really want to ramp that up because we haven't been ramping that up really in recent months and years. Pretty much since COVID hit, we've kind of slowed down, or we did daily content for almost 200 days and then it slowed down. So we have more stuff coming for our patrons this year, though. After every episode on Wednesday nights, I'm going to be doing a after show where just for the $20 patrons, I'm going to be going on there and giving thoughts to pressing questions, taking questions, things like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So if you want to be a patron, you can join, get that. Also, we started up a Discord. We realized that the Facebook group was just becoming so incredibly overwhelmed and that nobody really checks it. People just kind of have it there and then they leave. So we started a Discord. What the goal with the Discord is to have conversation about all the things we talked about. John and I have been doing Movie Buff Specialist, which is pretty much all we've done over the summer. And then also to talk about Survivor 43, what Survivor seasons you're watching, what your thoughts are on an episode. Every time that there is a new episode, we're going to put it out there for a discussion thread so you guys can have your discussions. And we'll take some comments and stuff like that from those discussions and talk about them on our recap episodes. We really want to get back into the fan interaction, which is really what we built this podcast on in the first place. Leslie here, watching from Nairobi, Kenya. That's awesome. Love to hear that. And hopefully you stick with it throughout this entire thing because we're going to be talking about all 18 of these newbies. And by we, I mean me. But if you all have any comments, any questions, any concerns about any of these players, please let me know. I'm going to need some help because I'm just going solo. So I'm going to need some thoughts. Otherwise, it's just going to be me saying, hey, I like this guy because he said this, or I don't like this person because of their face, essentially. Like, there's nothing really to go on here other than the fact that there's 18 new people. There's three tribes, six people on each tribe. If you've been following along with our Patreon over the summer, we've talked about some of the twists and things like that that are coming up this year. Also, that season 44 is going to have some sort of birdcage twist, which, you know, isn't really relevant to season 43. 43, though, doesn't seem like it's going to be going back to having the there's going to be an earn the merge, but it seems like the hourglass twist is finally gone. So we don't have to worry about that. So these 18 people are going to get, hopefully, what is a more fair experience on Survivor, although nobody's really going to complain about how season 42 of Survivor went. So all that being said, I'm going to start off talking about the Coca tribe, which is the blue tribe. And I'm going to start with Gio Bustamante, who is 36 years old, originally from Miami, Florida, currently lives in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's a project manager who likes hiking, traveling, and diving. Says he's adaptable, hard worker, and resilient. Reading through this bio, I was probably most impressed that it's an interesting one, the accomplishments that he's most proud of. English is second language, grew up in the hood and was homeless for a period of time, and graduated with an associate degree with a 4.0 GPA. This is so much, it just shows how different Survivor has gotten with their casting. Considering, think about Survivor Fiji all the way back with Dreams. It was a totally different story than what we're seeing with Gio. Dreams' whole thing was, Dreams was homeless, and now Dreams is on Survivor. And like, that was so much of what the focus was. Whereas now Survivor's casting somebody who is more put together, like older, I guess is the easiest way to put it, because I think Dreams was maybe 20, 21, 22, very young at the time that he played. Gio's 36, clearly has things settled for himself, married, and says that he's going to play like a combination of Cochran and Boston Rob. So we'll see how that ends up going. But kind of like Gio, I think when you have like when you the hardship thing can go one of two ways. It can either really work in your favor because you're, you know, the hardship makes you stronger and you learn how to, you know how to overcome, or you almost get frustrated with other people for not working as hard or for not taking things as seriously. We'll have to see how this season of Survivor actually goes, because a lot of times nowadays, nobody really cares about the working so hard and things like that. But we'll see how that actually ends up going on this season. Like where Gio's at, though, think that he's, you know, think that this is an interesting tribe, and we'll talk about it when we get there. This is the tribe with Gio, Jay, Ryan, Cassidy, Carla, and Lindsay. And I think it's James. I think Jay was what was on Inside Survivor, but I think he's going by James now. And that's James Jones, who's 37 years old, the second person we're going to be talking about here. Event planner from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Favorite hobbies, curating events, finding the best cocktails in the city, reading and writing, confident, casual, self-aware. Pet peeve, really bad customer service, and pushy salespeople. So I like the pushy salespeople thing, because literally you're about to go out and you're going to play a game where everybody's going to be trying to sell you on why you should go their way. And we'll see how he really is with this. I mean, it's obviously one thing if you show up to go buy a car and the people won't leave you alone, or if you show up to go buy a piece of furniture and the people won't leave you alone, or if he just doesn't really like being talked at or like kind of hounded, because that is what this is going to be, right? I mean, that is what Survivor is. People are going to be hounding you all hours of the night, all hours of the day, just trying to kind of get into your head and figure out where you are going with everything. How can they convince you to vote with them? It says his greatest accomplishment, winning the United States Chess Open for his rating, for my rating bracket when I was 12. So he was 12 years old. He was playing against grown people and won $1,200. That was like $100,000 to him at the time. Playing for a little bit more here on Survivor, though. I'm pretty sure if he gets 18th, he probably gets around that $1,800. What would you never know from looking at him? He grew up in the church. He was an usher, sang in the choir. Dad was a deacon. Mom was a deaconess. I have a deep faith, but it is my own faith. I don't talk about it a lot, but I am a big believer. I think that is going to be an interesting dynamic. You know, the faith thing, because we always see it kind of come out of people more once they actually get onto the island, because it's such a, it's a place where they kind of go to look at and find the, what they need to get through. So curious to see how that ends up working out for James. Says he'll play like Sandra. Sandra's anyone but me will always be a strategy, as long as he sees a path to the end and is with people or have people in which he trusts. If he doesn't have that, he will be an agent of chaos Russell with charm. He's playing to win and not for seventh place. An agent of chaos Russell with charm kind of sounds like Tony. So Sandra and Tony, not too bad people to want to ultimately play the game like. So that's also a good thing. Again, nothing really to dislike here, but two people we've talked about so far, 36 and 37 years old, that would be called ancient back on Millennials versus Gen X. Now it's kind of more of the norm. So fun that that's happening. Again, if you're joining now, Alexa, off in Europe, she's not here. She's not going to be back. She's not going to be able to do this until a week from now. So I wanted to make sure we could get this out on cast announcement day, because obviously, especially with what a long off season this was, considering we weren't able to get any interviews, I just want to make sure that, like, hey, it's August 31st, tomorrow is September 1, new season, we're ready to go, Survivor 43, hopefully it's as good as Survivor 42 was. Talking about the Blue Tribe, but if you have any comments about who your favorites are, early favorites, anything like that, let me know in the comments, because I'll be reading them and I could use the help for sure. All right, for the third man that is on this Blue Tribe is Ryan Medrano, who's 25, hometown is Savannah, Georgia, current residence is El Paso, Texas, a warehouse associate who likes fishing, hiking, and carpentry. Says he's charismatic, outgoing, and humorous, hates bullies, laziness, and self-entitlement. Youngest man on this tribe. It's funny, his picture on Inside Survivor is so much different than what his cast photo actually is. That is a really tight polo, which, you know, that's awesome. But in the Inside Survivor photo, it's like him in the gym, and you can clearly tell that he's in the gym. So I just was not expecting this. El Paso, Texas. I mean, if you like living in El Paso, Texas, like you could win Survivor. I really did not like El Paso when I had to go through El Paso. It was not really my thing. Accomplishment that he's most proud of, connection that he made with his mother after her stroke, helped her to understand that just because she wasn't the same as before didn't mean she couldn't live a full life. She just had to approach things from her newfound perspective. Something that we would never know by looking at him. He was born 3 months early with mild cerebral palsy. Doctors said he would never walk, but after 4 years of therapy, he was finally able to, and now he's playing Survivor. So that's pretty unbelievable. Those are the crazy, awesome kinds of stories that we like to see on Survivor. And I'm sure we're going to hear about that one pretty early on, especially if Survivor continues to use that editing technique of going back and kind of showing people at their homes and things like that. Good for Ryan. However, here's a little bit of a red flag. Past Survivor will play like Rupert likes the way he provided food for his tribe, which helped them keep their strength for the challenges. That's great. But Rupert never really made it all that far in a season. I mean, All Stars, yeah, he did pretty good. But he was dragged, and Rupert didn't really have the strategy sense that some of these other people are saying. But then again, half the people who say they're going to play like Parvati don't have a strategic bone in their body. So maybe that'll work in his favor. Says he's a triple threat who can socialize easily, naturally strong, quick in puzzles. I am curious how Gio, so I always like to kind of break this down as like, here's your one person, here's your men on the tribe, here's your women on the tribe, and then how will the tribe as a whole interact? Gio, James, Ryan, I think that these three guys will get along pretty well. I'm not seeing this as kind of like a Xander, Voce, Abraham thing where like there's really no tight connection, and then that ultimately leads to the women being able to take over here. I do think that these three will bond around something. This definitely feels more to me like Danny and Deshaun, even though I know Nasir was kind of off causing havoc. I feel like the three of them probably have a lot more in common. Seems like they all overcame a lot. I mean, we got somebody who was homeless, and we have somebody who had mild cerebral palsy on the same tribe. I think those are good starting points for them. And I think that they'll have, you know, conversations about that kind of stuff. I'm also very excited, though, to see how James, who might be the smartest guy on this tribe, is going to fit in with all them. Probably fine, but I just love that he won a chess tournament, at 12. Royal 17 had asked, why couldn't you all get any interviews? I know it was a question a lot of people had asked. We had kind of told the patrons, but just weren't allowed to this year. Just unfortunately the policy changed, and so we couldn't do them. Really, nobody got them. I know Rob got a couple at the beginning, but then nobody was able to get them after that. So hopefully for 43 that changes, or hopefully we can start getting some of those 42 people on as the season gets going, or something at least. Let's jump over to the women of the Coca tribe, and I'm going to be starting out with Cassidy Clark. So Cassidy Clark, she's 26 years old, from Plano, Texas, now lives in Austin, Texas, is a designer. Hobbies: fashion design, most forms of art, thrifting, your grandparents' old clothes, knickknacks, skating, boxing, and underwater exploring. She is groovy, charismatic, and creative. She hates narrow-minded, judgmental people, also people who have no reverence for Mother Nature and her beautiful beings. Accomplishments she's proud of: she fought through many painful experiences, never let it break her down. Has a fighting spirit, will be proud of her perseverance, but also very proud of showing her designs in a fashion show. I just think that's very interesting right there, because it pretty much doesn't say anything. She went through painful experiences. Like, we just heard about the cerebral palsy. We heard about the homeless. I'm curious, what is Cassidy's painful experience that she's not really letting be known in here? And for anybody who did our Evie, listened to our Evie interview, when she had said like her pet peeves were men, she said like they were pulling this information from when they were going into audition. So of course she's going to say the thing that's going to get her noticed. And so she says that, and that's what comes out on these days. So this was stuff that was going on beforehand. So I'm curious what Cassidy's story is, because while that is very vague, clearly there's something that Survivor saw in her that made them want to bring her out here. It says something you would never know from looking at her. She always carried a deep spiritual wonder and appreciation for life and nature and all of its many beautiful complexities. She can manifest and create anything when she surrenders fully to the moment and finds acceptance in it. Maintaining that flow throughout the game will not always be easy, but it is a top priority. I would say, though, based on the cast photo, that doesn't really surprise me about Cassidy. Just being honest, like with the attire and the tattoos and the hair, like, I feel like that fits kind of what I would expect her to be saying. Which Survivor will she play the game most like? She says she always admired Kim Spradlin's game. So Kim Spradlin's a good one to try to replicate. And if you're able to pull it off, that's going to be a great thing for you. So curious to see what Cassidy can do with that. She's 26. As we said, the first two guys were a little bit older, Ryan 25. So Cassidy, another one, like the pictures that Inside Survivor found when this was like originally released, so much different than what they look like in their cast photos now. So we'll see how Cassidy does. I haven't really looked into everybody else on the season yet, so we'll see. Jay Burnham 93 said, I want to say I'm so excited to see there's an amputee on the season. I hope we see more disabled contestant representation. My wife is physically disabled, and it's always nice they attempt inclusion. We'll be talking about her a little bit later on, not Jay Burnham's wife, but the amputee who is on this season, and how Kelly Bruno, and this is the third one ever behind Kelly Bruno and Chad from Survivor Vanuatu. So we're going next to Carla Godoy, and Carla, I have to pull her picture up. Carla's 28 years old, San Diego, California, currently lives in Newark, Delaware, which I think is actually Newark, Delaware. I'm from Jersey, so I say Newark. She's an educational project manager. Favorite hobbies are traveling, brunching, and karaoke. I like that brunching is a verb in that. Three words to describe her: ambitious, gregarious, and adaptable. Pet peeves: tardiness, pessimism, and slow drivers. Accomplishments she's most proud of: her parents are Mexican immigrants who became teenage parents at the age of 16, which led her to grow up in a low-income community where college is only a dream. Fortunately, school became a safe space for her. She felt loved, cared for, and seen, recognized that through school she could follow passions and, most importantly, get out of the hood. I'm proud to say I'm the first in my family to graduate from high school and the first to graduate from college, and I did it with a full-ride scholarship from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's Millennium Scholarships Program. This queer Chicana did it. There you go. Interesting. So many people here, I think is that the second or third time that I've used the word hood from their quote on here. And it's interesting to see that like a lot of the people that are cast, at least on this blue tribe, are coming from a low income, impoverished, like upbringing. It's very interesting that a lot of this is happening on the blue tribe. Like I said, I didn't really look too much into these people. I kind of wanted to give like authentic reactions to it, but I do think that that is a way of bonding, or also a way of maybe just being a little okay, that's great, now I'm going to try to tell you my story, and then maybe that can cause butting of heads. I don't know, seems like most of the time it works as a bonding but can always go the opposite way. I do think that this works out good for Gio though. I mean, you got Gio Bustamante who, and Carla, I think that the two of them could work together for sure, so I think that's good. Which past Survivor would she play the game most like? That would be Cerie Fields. So another good one. Really, so far, Rupert from Ryan is the real question mark here. But Cerie, always a good person to try to play the game like. Now let's see if you can actually pull it off. And also maybe sit at a final and win the game. But we'll see how that ends up going. I think like this is setting up for... Right now, Cassidy to me feels like the one on the outside out of these five that we've talked about so far. So let's jump into the last one here, which is Lindsay Carmine. And Lindsay Carmine is 42 years old, so the oldest person on this tribe, Greensboro, North Carolina, lives now in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, is a pediatric nurse. Favorite hobbies are volunteering, traveling, reading, exercising, gardening, and projects on the homestead. Any and all outdoor adventures, spending time with family and friends. She's relentless, resourceful, and compassionate. She hates people who cut the line, smacking gum when people play games on their phone and don't put the phone on silent. She won't have to worry about any of those out there on Survivor. So that's good for her. Accomplishment she's most proud of is she's never strayed from goals, even when people told her expectations were too high. The common assumption is that you can have it all, just not all at once. She's here to show that you can. I look around at this life and that I'm very intentionally creative for myself and our family and think, what if I had listened to everyone and just stopped dreaming? I wouldn't have any of this. Again, very vague, very, very vague. And I want to know more about Lindsay and what's going on behind the scenes and in Lindsay's personal life. We don't get it there. I'm sure that there's videos or something that came out, but you know, I'd like to know, why do you believe you can be the sole survivor? She has 20 years worth of reasons why she's going to be the sole survivor. Don't really know what that means. However, and she did spell the name wrong, so perhaps she didn't actually mean the person that I'm hoping she's looking for here. What survivor would you play the game most like? Natalie, mental and physical strength; Sarah, strategic; and Michelle, social. Now, if she means Michelle Fitzgerald, that's awesome, but she put two L's, so I can't really assume that that's what she means. But if it is, she's a guaranteed win and good for her. Something you would never know from looking at her. People are mostly surprised how competitive she is, especially as she gets older. It's as if people think she should have outgrown that phase of her life, come across as non-threatening, and is very intentional on her part. This is going to help her in this game. I like Lindsay. I think that I want to know more about like Lindsay's personal life at home, because from what I'm reading, or if I'm reading into the accomplishment that she's most proud of, it sounds like she's very, very, very well off at this part, at this point. So if she's very well off, that's not a negative for her. However, with a tribe of a lot of people with harder upbringings, this could be maybe an issue where if she tries to say, well, I used to do this or something like that, and then they're like, yeah, but this is where I come from, that could end up hurting her. I don't necessarily think it will. I mean, she's a pediatric nurse, so obviously she's going to have social skills, but I do just wonder like what all of this is behind the scenes. She does feel like the outlier on the tribe. Maybe not the outlier. I think Cassidy is still the outlier. I think Lindsay is probably next. I just feel like the three guys are definitely going to be able to pair off better than the three women are on this tribe. We'll see if that actually ends up coming true. Adrian Celeste says, out of the Coca tribe, Lindsay gives her the winner vibes. I could definitely see Lindsay getting the win. I just want to know how's Lindsay going to play this out as it goes on? You know, like, is she going to start off really good, or is it going to take her a little bit to get going? And how is her social game going to be? It does make me laugh that 42 is old. She's talking about older seasons and everything like that, and you know, all that fun stuff. But still, it's like, man, 42 is not that old, and that I don't know if she's the oldest person on this season or not, but she is the oldest person on this tribe, although you have a 37 and a 36-year-old on this tribe as well. So it's not like you're dealing with a 42-year-old and everybody else is like 17, 18, all of that stuff. So yeah, that's where we're at on that. Adrian is saying also seeing Chrissy Hoffpeck potential there. And Gamer Girl saying Jesse and Cody will be our villains. We haven't gotten to Jesse and Cody yet, but we're coming up right now. So next, I'm going to jump over to the Baca tribe. I don't really know how you say it, tribe. It is the yellow tribe. So that's going to be the one that we're going to jump over to right now. And I'm going to start off with, if I can ever get there, I'm going to start off with Mariah Young. So Mariah Young, 28 years old, Philadelphia as well, just like James was. Teacher, favorite hobby, shopping, traveling, creating content. Three words to describe herself: colorful, energetic, and joyful. Definitely colorful. Hair is colorful. The dress that she is wearing in the cast photo is very colorful. So definitely there. Pet peeves: negative Nancys, Debbie Downers, and bullies. It would have been great if there was one more alliteration there. Just one more alliteration. We had to like have like Billy Bullies or something. We needed something. But what is the accomplishment she's most proud of? She's proud of the life she's building with her fiance, proud of being a teacher, proud of making it through college, opening her selfie museum. Okay. I'm interested to know more about that for sure. Something they would never know from looking at her, that she's terrified of clowns. That's great. Julie Rosenberg really scarred me for life with her little wooden dolls. And now Mariah doesn't like clowns. So there you go. I feel like I'm more like kindred spirits here. Let's see. Survivor player should play the game most like James. Don't bite the apple. Stay true to your lines as best you can and stick it out until the end. Hers is probably one of the shortest of the bios, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of personality here. I just feel like writing down the personality probably is not what she wants to be doing. She wants to just be telling everybody about what she's going to be doing here. I'm very curious about this selfie museum. I want to know more about the selfie museum. I'm all about it. And I want to know, like, it's like opening my selfie museum. Like, are these selfies of her that she put in a museum? I don't know what that means. And maybe that's just because I'm getting older and out of touch, but I am only 2 years older than her. So I feel like I should know what she's talking about, but I don't. So I want to know more. I think it really comes down to how energetic is she going to be? I mean, how big of a personality is she going to be? Generally, being a massive, massive, massive personality on Survivor can get you into trouble early, but we're coming off of a Marianne win, and Marianne never once strayed from being Marianne. She was loud and in your face the entire season, and she did not care. maybe that sets up well for Mariah. Everybody did kind of, I think they all got to see most of Marianne's game. I don't know if they actually knew Marianne had won by this. Let me see. So here it is. So here's what I'm getting here from all this. Derek Woodward Lehman says Mariah was a student of one of his family members. Adrian Celeste says the museum is colorful. I mean, colorful. And she just opened up like an ocean themed room in the museum. It also has a ball pit and everything in there. Awesome. So what's the name of this? What is the name of this museum? And also, is she actually a teacher, or at this point, is she just a selfie museum owner? Curious to know more about that, but yeah, definitely excited about Mariah here. Jumping over to the next person, also on Mariah's tribe, we're going to go Janine Zhang, 24 years old, from South Hamilton, Massachusetts, now lives in San Francisco, California. She is a UX designer. So that's user experience designer. Okay. Didn't know that. Now I know. Okay. I think she's the first person ever to be a UX designer. So that's good. Or that's new. Favorite hobbies, backpacking. Bonus points if it leads to sleeping under the stars, photography, and running. Three words to describe her: green, both in that I absorb all new experience information around me, and environmentally conscious, empathetic, and witty. Pet peeves, being mansplained to, people on their phones while you're hanging out. Accomplishment most proud of: the body of work that she is most proud of is her senior thesis, which bridged her two majors of environmental science and visual arts. They are two departments that have never worked together as a double major, and it took a lot of initiative to create her own syllabus and thesis, which addressed both. The thesis is a true reflection of her equal passions in sustainability and art. Oh, Adrian Celeste, by the way, says it's called Rainbow Room, R-E-I-G-N-B-O-W Room. Now I know that is for Mariah. So I didn't know that. Survivor player she'd want to play the most like. She says Kim Spradlin. So there you go. That's the second one for her. And then Andrea Belkey, because she is outdoorsy, carried her weight, and manipulated people while staying likable. And then about Kim, she said she straddled the perfect balance of executing huge game moves without being pegged as the mastermind, and is feminism at its finest. Okay. So in terms of Janine and Mariah right now, I mean, I feel like the women on this tribe definitely click a little bit more than the women on Coca tribe, for sure. So we'll see how her and Mariah end up working together. Gamer Girl says she's the Once Upon an Island. What is a UX designer? But she's from his state. Oh, okay. So got it. Anyway, Sam Higdon, one thing I do when a cast comes out is that I look and see who got a confessional in the season preview, because they usually go far. I don't remember who got a confessional in the season preview, and I'm interested to learn more about that. I would have to watch that again and see. Okay, final woman from this tribe. We're going all the way to, where is the picture? We're going to Elizabeth Ellie Scott. So she's 31, from Atlanta, Georgia, lives in Salt Lake City. Occupation, clinical psychologist. Favorite hobbies, rock climbing, skiing, karaoke at dive bars. Three words to describe her: clever, perceptive, and authentic. Pet peeves, really the only way someone can earn a spot on her bad side is by being considered intentionally hurtful to others. Social injustice and discrimination make her blood boil. Always speak up when she observes it, even if it gets her in trouble. Most proud of her persistence in education despite challenges. When it came time to apply for college, high school advisor told her she'd be wasting her time and money if she enrolled, but she had a deep desire to study psychology so that she could work towards helping families like hers that were impacted by addiction. Accepted to a program for students with lower GPAs and standardized test scores, with the contingency that she had to make all A's in her first semester classes. After meeting this requirement, she realized how good it felt to do well in school, and she proceeded to get a master's and a doctorate. Good for her. Something we'd never know by looking at her. Most people don't know that she's creative and artsy. She loves to write, paint, and learn new crafts when she has time for it. Which Survivor player would she want to play most like? Kim Spradlin. Okay, there we go. Kim there. And then she goes on to say Kelly Wentworth, Cerie Fields, and Sarah Lucina. But starts off with Kim Spradlin. This is the Kim Spradlin show now, after so many times of seeing Parvati. I haven't gotten a Parvati yet. Instead, people are starting to put Kim Spradlin. It's like these are diehard fans who really want to change this. I think these women are going to work really well together. It seems like it to me. It just seems like these three women really have like similar mindsets on a lot of things. And I think that's going to help them go well, go far together. I think that the blue tribe to me felt like the one where the men would stick together a little bit. This yellow tribe definitely feels like one where the women are just going to be able to bond pretty much right away. Now, that doesn't say that I think the men here don't have a shot, because we're going to talk about this. To me, this is probably to me the biggest personality tribe. Now, I don't know if that means that they're going to work well together, if they're going to be the tribe that falls apart. I mean, I always think about the Brawn tribe in Korong was the big personality tribe, and they just kept falling. They kept losing, but they were big personalities. This feels like the big personality tribe to me, whereas the blue tribe feels like a little bit more of like what we're used to seeing on Survivor. And then the red tribe, which we'll get to later, that feels like that's going to be your like winners probably going to come from over there, but we'll talk about that when we get to that. So yeah, that's what I have for that. Let me see some comments here. Adrian Celeste, Ellie to me gives winner potential for Baca, but also Owen too. We'll be talking about Owen in a second. Jay Burnham said, Ellie, I'm predicting first four voted out. She just has early boot vibes to her, but hopefully he's wrong. Adrian Celeste says, Mariah, Mike, Carla, Jesse, Sammy, and Ellie got a confessional in the 43 preview. So there you go. Four of those people. It's the whole Baca tribe. So like I just said, this is the big personality tribe. I didn't even realize that. This is the big personality tribe. Adrian Celeste and Jay did as well. And then what is this? Who is the one who got trouble with Royal 17? Carla, Jesse, James, Mariah, Ellie, Mike, Sammy, and Noel. So Noel too, which we haven't gotten to Noel. Noel is going to be in the next one for the next tribe. So that's it. All right. Let's jump over to the men now on this tribe, this yellow tribe. And I'm going to start with what possibly could be my favorite nickname of all time, just because it keeps being used in quotes. Mike Gabler. Since when do you have to put quotes around somebody who wants to be called by their last name? I just find that very interesting. And it's funny because like it's on everything. It's Gabler. Okay. So he wants to be known as Gabler. I get it, but it's still his last name. It doesn't really need like, it's not like he's like Mike Mickey Gabler. Like it's just, anyway, 52 years old, believe the oldest person on the season, Houston, Texas, currently lives in Meridian, Idaho, is a heart valve specialist. Favorite hobbies are camping, hunting, fishing, and skiing. Three words to describe him: intense, energetic, and fun. Pet peeves are unfairness and men in skinny jeans. Now, the irony here is in his cast photo, he is wearing the tightest shorts that you can wear. I understand that they're probably like compression shorts or whatever, but it just makes me laugh that his pet peeve is skinny jeans. And he's the only one here so far who is wearing skin tight pants out of all of the men who we have discussed thus far. Accomplishment in life he's most proud of: his family has not been easy. Life is busy. Life is hard, but through hard work, dedication, and love, they've stayed together, overcome obstacles, and are strong. Something they would never know from looking at him. He's social. As social as I am, he enjoys time alone, more sensitive than most think. Which past Survivor would you play the game most like? He said, if I can only pick one, then I'd say Sandra. She was always in the right place at the right time, and she had phenomenal strategies and gameplay. Now, no, I haven't been reading Why Do You Believe You Can Be the Sole Survivor, but I'm going to right now. Why do you believe you can be the sole survivor? His response was yes with 2 exclamation points. This is fantastic. Like, I love this. I love what we're seeing with this from Gabler here. I do like, though, that they're kind of going against type here. You look at this guy, you think, okay, he's going to be like your Rick or your Brad or something like that. He's a heart valve specialist. I love that they're going that route with this kind of casting choice. I just wish he would have read the question a little bit better instead of, do you think you can win Survivor? It's like, why do you think you can win Survivor? Sam Higdon says you need to show pictures, but I can't. It's too many things for me to do this time. Normally I would do it, but it's just too many things right now. Yes. So anyway, yes, Gabler. I like Gabler. Believe he's the oldest person on this season. How does that mean he's going to do on this tribe? Well, he's there with 31 and 28 and 24 so far. Owen's 30. Sammy's young. However, we just saw Mike do pretty well on a pretty young tribe. Jenny got in trouble early. Him and Jenny, that was kind of like Daniel just kind of did whatever. And if oh my gosh, why can I not think of her name? It's blowing. Oh my God. Where's Alexa to yell at me? Oh my gosh. Chanel, thank you, myself. If Chanel had not gotten rid of her vote, Jenny and Mike are fine. I think Gabler is going to be fine. I really do. I think that he'll be okay at the beginning, at least, of this season. Or at least I hope he will. And if he's not, he's going to be like Brad, where he's going to give us a lot of content and then be gone. Next up, we got Owen Knight, 30 years old, from Bethesda, Maryland. Currently lives in New Orleans, Louisiana. He works at Tulane, college admissions director. Favorite hobbies, backpacking, hiking, video games, taking and coaching fitness classes. Three words to describe him: loyal, charismatic, and passionate. Pet peeve is people who are entitled and people who don't know what to do at a four-way stop. Okay, most people don't know what to do at a four-way stop. And so what that ultimately leads to me doing is just going. What is the accomplishment you're most proud of? Being named an admission director at his age is rare. To be named director at his alma mater reminds him the grind has been worth it and that people have noticed how dedicated and genuinely invested he is. What is something that we would never know from looking at you? That he's a great public speaker and uses public people skills at work every day. Asian men have certain unfair stereotypes associated with them, and I do not fit that mold. I played football in high school, was rush chair for my fraternity, and can entertain a room of 800 people. Uses EQ more than his IQ on an average day. He wants to play like Adam Klein. So that's always a good thing if you're a Survivor specialist person and you want to play like Adam Klein or Tommy Sheehan, people who listened to us prior to going out on Survivor, you always have a better chance of winning the game, except for JD, who wasn't able to get it done. But, you know, that's okay. But he says he kept his threat level low, had good relationships with everyone. It was authentic. Super fan self. I like Owen a lot. I think Owen is probably the most excited out of everybody on this season to be playing Survivor. I really do. That's not to say that I don't think that people are, that everybody's equally excited in some way. Like, they all want to be there. But I think Owen is the most excited to be playing Survivor out of everybody. Is that good or is that bad? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, JD was super excited to play Survivor and he made so many mistakes. Now, Owen to me seems like a smart guy. Seems like he can kind of keep it together. Like he said, he's an admissions count like director. So that means he's going to have to like, he's used to like having conversations, exciting conversations, disappointing conversations with people. I'm curious what that means for Owen. He's definitely the most excited to be out there though. So I hope it works out for him. I really, really do hope it works out for him. But we'll see if it does. We'll see if it does. Okay. Last person from this tribe. We are going down to Sammy Liotti. Liotti? I think so. 19 years old from Vegas. He is a pet cremator. Okay. So don't necessarily tell people what you do, Sammy. That's like my number one thing here. Favorite hobbies are sports, fitness, journaling. Three words to describe: unpredictable, tenacious, and indecisive. Pet peeves, excuses, laziness, being woken up before noon on weekends. Nice. What is the accomplishment he's most proud of? Getting his Eagle Scout, because he struggled mightily with completing merit badges and often took 3 to 4 classes just to get them. To finally receive it made it very proud of himself. Something you wouldn't know about him: his background is very culturally diverse, with his father being an immigrant from Morocco. Okay. Which player would he want to play like? He says Kelly Wentworth as well. What he admires from Kelly's game is that she never gave up until her torch was snuffed. And even when she was clearly on the bottom, she not only found ways to climb up, but she made everybody think that she was oblivious and not smart enough to follow the foolproof plan they had. I like Sammy's energy. I mean, that's for sure. I don't know. I mean, it's always hard with the really, 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 really young people on a season to see like what that really means for them. Sometimes they do really well. Sometimes the life experience just isn't there. We have a 52-year-old and a 19-year-old on the same tribe. This is the youngest tribe. We only have two people who are in their 30s and their low 30s is 30 and 31. The other two, 28 and 24. So this is like a younger tribe. I think Sammy could do really well. Is he going to be like Will Wall, where he could go far without really with having good strategy and having good relationships, but not necessarily getting the time and everything? Maybe. We'll see how that ends up going. But I don't know. To me, again, Baca, I'm having a hard time with who would be the first person voted off of Baca. I don't know. Who would be the one who could win from Baca? I don't know. I think any of them could probably win from this tribe. But who would be the first one voted off? I feel like this is just your personality tribe. This is going to be the tribe that we're really going to enjoy going to. It kind of reminds me of the Shan, Ricard, Brad, JD, GD, Sarah tribe. Like, that's what this tribe feels like to me. Hopefully more of them make the merge than just two. All right. Anyway. All right. Before I get to the third the third tribe. Again, reminding everybody, patreon.com/survivorspecialist. We're going to be doing a lot more this year. We have a Discord that we created during the offseason, where we're going to be having a lot more discussions about the episodes, things like that. We'll have live chats going during the episodes, so people can like actually interact. I mean, I know a lot of people watch, a lot of our patrons watch the show together anyway, or they'll like have watch parties over Zoom or whatever. This will give you other ways to discuss anything that you want to do like that. So that will be new. And then we're also going to be doing after shows. In addition, Vintage Survivor Store is again going to be giving away a prize for one of our $20 patrons who wins their fantasy game. So when Alexa and I do fantasy games, and we pick our fantasy teams, you guys can also pick your fantasy team, pick six players, and whoever gets the best score at the end of everything will be awarded a prize from Vintage Survivor Store, who gifted somebody, I forget who it was, a prize last year. All right. Third and final tribe. This is the Vessi tribe. Now, I don't know what it is. This to me just feels like the business tribe. This feels like where your winner is going to come from, whether you like it or not. So I'm going to start off with, I don't even know what number I'm at here. I'm going to start off with Cody Assenmacher. So he's 35 years old from Preston, Iowa, lives in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's in elevator sales. He likes going out with friends, traveling, and being outdoors. Three words to describe him are optimistic, charismatic, and fearless. Hates lazy people, social media addicts, clipping nails in a public location. Accomplishment he's most proud of. He's really proud of the relationships he has with his family and friends. Without them, life would be boring. Knowing they're there for him no matter what is comforting. Something that you would never know from looking at him. Several of his bottom teeth are fake. When he was a kid, his older brother strapped him into a sled behind an ATV in a frozen cornfield, and the sled flipped over. That's Iowa, I guess, right? I mean, is there really anything other to say than that's Iowa? Which past survivor would you play the game most like? Malcolm is who he goes with here, so that's a good one. Haven't heard a Malcolm reference in a long time, so that's always nice. 35? I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, Cody looks like he could play Survivor and looks like he could be pretty good at Survivor. I like somebody who goes from Iowa to Honolulu. Like, those are two totally different climates, two totally different lifestyles. So I'm into that. I'm interested that he sells elevators. I mean, you know, that's something, you know, he's not just a salesman. He sells elevators. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So yeah, I think Cody could be really, really good on Survivor. I really do. I think Cody could be really good. I also think it helps. I think the villain of the season is probably on this tribe, but we'll get to that. Yeah. So I think Cody could be good. I like him, and that's crazy. I'm sorry, your brother wrecked your teeth, man. That's insane. All right. Moving on to the next one. We are going to Jesse Lopez. Now, just from the picture of Jesse, they're telling you he's going to be the villain of the season. Does that mean he's a villain of the season? I don't know. But just the picture up with his arms crossed, he's staring and glaring. He's not smiling. He's not even a half smile. He's glaring at you. He's 30 years old from Venice, California, currently lives in Durham, political science PhD. Favorite hobbies are playing chess with his son, dancing with his daughter, binge watching shows with his wife after the chess player and dancer fall asleep. Three words to describe him: aware, ambitious, and unbreakable. Pet peeves are quitters, people who complain about things but aren't willing to change, and personalized license plates. Love that he doesn't like personalized license plates. That's such a random thing to not like. Accomplishment he's most proud of: the family he's built with his wife. Every day he gets to watch his kids actually be kids and grow at their own pace. That's something that he never had and always wanted. It doesn't matter what else he's done or ends up doing. Building a family with his wife takes the cake. What is something we wouldn't know from looking at him? He does research at Duke. You don't look at him and see a scholar. As Biggie says, though, I'm sicker than your average. And the player he'd want to play like are Spencer and Christian. And then, if they got jumped into a gang at 15, he's definitely bringing an academic mindset to the game because he spent more hours thinking about how people vote than Sandra and Boston Rob combined. There you go. I think I just think like Jesse seems like he's going to be the villain. But then at the same time, when you read that, nothing in that sounds villainous. It sounds like a very nice, like, family guy. Like, you know, he's happy for his family. He's providing for them, all of that. He likes spending time with his kids. He's studying research at Duke. But then that picture is just crazy. John Millsap says, isn't that the same type of picture they gave us of Vochi? Kind of. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know, though. I mean, I think he could go far for sure. I definitely think he could go far. It's just That's funny to me that that's the picture that we got. And I'm supposed to not think he's the villain of this season. Jesse's going to be fan favorite. There you go. Not going to be villain at all. All right. Our final man that we're talking about is Dwight Moore, 22 years old from Palo Alto, California, now lives in Collierville, Tennessee. Occupation is graduate student, favorite hobby, skiing, video games, tutoring, and teaching. Three words to describe him are ambitious, confident, and strong-willed. Pet peeve, someone making a reference to The Office within 2 seconds of learning his name. What reference is there to make? I don't understand. Arrogance, refusal to use turn signals while driving. See, I can get behind the refusal to use turn signals while driving. That's a big one. That's a big one. Accomplishment he's most proud of: in his sophomore year of high school, decided to take the ACT just to see how he would do on it. Ended up getting a perfect score. That was great for college admissions, and it garnered his attention locally and nationally due to that. He said parents in Memphis tell him that Dave used him as an example for their kids to show what Black people can accomplish academically. It's not the actual score that he's proud of. It's the idea that hopefully someone felt motivated by seeing Black representation in academic space. What is something that we would never know from looking at him, that he had a whole career as a journalist that rivals that of professionals all before he entered college. He entered journalism because as a kid, he wanted to become president and decided that the best way to learn was by interviewing other political figures. The list of people he's interviewed includes Cory Booker, Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, and Condoleezza Rice. He also covered the red carpet at the National Civil Rights Museum's Freedom Awards for many years, interviewing honorees. The person he wants to play like is Wendell from Ghost Island. So, man, that's a lot for a 22-year-old. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's pretty impressive to be doing. I'm curious more about this journalism kind of background. I'm curious to hear more about what went into that. But that is a lot of good stuff that he's done, for sure. Now, will he immediately have a nemesis who hears his name Dwight and just he says, you know what, screw you. Like, I hate that, you know, that they make an Office reference and he just can't handle it. I don't know. But I'm very into I'm very into this background and everything that he's got going on here. So I think Dwight could do good. The one thing we don't know about Dwight, how's he going to do on the island? How's he going to do in Survivor? That's really what we don't know about him. I think he's got the good personality. I think he's got a good background. I think he'll have good people skills, but how is he going to do actually out there on the island? In terms of the men on this tribe, I think they could all either hate each other or like each other. I think he could go one way or the other. I don't think that none of them make me feel like they're sold on working with each other. All right. Next up, where is this picture? Okay, I got to refresh my page because there we go. All right. Naka Ejiri, 43, from Weatherford, Texas. Current residence is there. Pharmacist. Traveling, biking, and cooking. Three words to describe her: joyful, hardworking, and trustworthy. Pet peeves are mediocrity and laziness. Accomplishments she's most proud of: her family, her husband, and her have made it through some rough times and have three amazing children. Was something that she would never know. We would never know from looking at her how tough, resilient, and determined she can be. What class Survivor player would you want to play the game like? Siri, because I love to connect and do so easily. I'll play hard without seeming to on the surface. All right. Another one where the bio is giving me nothing. It's giving me absolutely nothing. But I do think that there's a lot of personality here. If you get cast on the show pretty much as a 40 plus woman, you have a lot of personality. Like they're not going to cast that archetype of somebody with a small personality. Big smile. Love the dress. We'll see what she can end up doing. Just not really much going on here in terms of the bio. It seems like this bio was filled out quickly. Just, you know, let me get my personality out in front of you. And I want to know how tough and resilient she can be. I want to know about these tough times. I want to know more about her background and where she comes from. A lot of the stuff that I'm much more easily able to get from some of these other players. That being said, hey, I mean, she could go out there and absolutely kill it, especially on this tribe. I think that, you know, being 43 is not a bad thing on this tribe of people. All right. Next up, I have Noelle Lambert. So she is the third person the third amputee to play Survivor. She's 25, from Londonderry, New Hampshire, currently lives in Manchester, New Hampshire, is a U.S. Paralympian. Favorite hobbies are snowboarding, traveling, hanging with her friends. She's tenacious, outgoing, and determined. She hates lazy people, slow drivers, and phony people. Accomplishment she's most proud of is after her leg was amputated in 2016, she never let it define her. She returned playing Division I lacrosse and just 2 years later made the Tokyo Paralympic track and field team, set a new American record in the 100-meter dash. something we never know from looking at her. Something people don't think when they see me is that she's a tremendous athlete. What a lot of people see when they look at me is my prosthetic, and they feel sorry for me and doubt my capabilities. And that is their first mistake. She wants to play the game similar to Kelly Wentworth. So again, another Kelly Wentworth. Look, I think this is a, really great story, because this is a, we're talking 2016. I mean, this is 6 years ago. You're talking, she's 19 years old when this happens. Obviously a massive life change. She's somebody who's a huge athlete, obviously. And then this happens and completely upends her life. I think, though, the fact that she just immediately was like, to turn 6 years later, she's playing Survivor. She's on the Paralympian team for the track and field. She sets the 100-meter record. I think those are all huge things working in her favor. Now, the problem that Chad and Kelly Bruno both ran into was, is there just going to be an automatic sympathy? I think it was different when those two played the game than it is now. I think that at this point in Survivor history, everybody's got a story. You know, I think everybody's got a story, and I don't think that this is necessarily just, oh, you're automatically going to win because. And I don't think people are going to think that way. They might as they start getting closer to the end, but I don't think people are going to think that way. I love this story. I think that she's got a really good chance to go far in this game and potentially be sitting there to argue her case at the end of the game. Again, I think this is the tribe where the winner's coming from. So that's why I just keep saying this over and over again. All right, our final person is Justine Brennan. She's 29, from Sunnyvale, California, lives now in Marina Del Rey, California. She's a cybersecurity sales, that's it. She just works in cybersecurity sales. Favorite hobbies, cooking, oil painting, and golfing. She is self-sufficient, resourceful, and witty. Hates when people walk slowly right in front of you, when you open the door for someone and they don't say thank you, and when people are passive-aggressive. Nice. John says, I have far more faith in the world than he does. That's good. What is the accomplishment you're most proud of? My parents let me borrow their 20-year-old Lexus SUV a few years back, and she immediately ran the passenger side door into a 4-foot-tall concrete pole by making a sharp right turn and not seeing it in the blind spot. To fix the destroyed door would have cost more money than the car was worth, so I looked at websites of a few junkyards, found one that had a 2000 gold Lexus LX 470, bargained it down from 750 to 400, installed the new door on Thanksgiving Day. Aside from the passenger window now being tinted, it was like the accident never happened. Love that. That's the resourcefulness we're looking for. She said that. That's a word to describe her. Something we would never know from looking at her. She thinks a lot of people think she's an unathletic girly girl, but her dad raised her to be the son he never had. Grew up racing dirt bikes and going to fishing derbies, and at high school's traditional junior versus senior girls powder puff football game, she put a girl in a headlock and tackled her to the ground. There's photo evidence. Who will she play like? She says Kelly Wentworth or Joe Englum. Well, hopefully more like Kelly, because she made it further. Joe just won challenges and then was done. I think Justine is like really solid Survivor. 29. She does remind me of Kim. Kind of personality, background, things like that. Just has that feel. I think that Justine, Naka, I think Dwight, I think even Cody, maybe even Jesse, who knows, depending on which part of Jesse kind of comes out here. Noelle, like, this is the tribe to me that where the winner seems like it's coming from. As I said earlier, the Baca tribe is where I think the personality is coming from. And the Coca tribe just feels like, to me, one of those tribes that's going to be kind of all over the place. And it's really going to depend on how everything gets going once they get out there. That's just my take. Literally, that is just my take. The Survivor 43 cast assessment brought to you by just me. Alexa, as I said, is off in Europe right now, but when she comes back, we will be getting back into our normal preseason material. We'll be doing boot list and prop bet and fantasy games, so we'll make sure to have all that stuff going. Remember, again, Survivor Specialists, or patreon.com/Survivor Specialists. We have a lot that we're ready to give to people this year. And let me know what you think about the cast, who you like, who you don't like, who you think is going to win, who you think is going to be an early boot. Let me know all of that stuff. If I had to go with a winner right now, I'm saying Justine. I'm saying we're getting three women in a row to win Survivor, and Justine is going to be the winner based on everything that I see here today. However, there's a lot of people that I think have the potential to pull this thing out. So let me know what you think in the comments. Thank you all for continuing to stick with us through everything. Really excited about Survivor Season 43. It's hard to believe that it's already here. See you all, I think, next Wednesday. I think that's what we're going to do, around next Wednesday. So keep an eye out, probably September 7th.